Joshua. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua. Stand with me. We'll read our text tonight. I was talking to Brother David just a little bit ago. He's just mentioning about this. And I mean, I'm looking forward to the book of Joshua. I feel like tonight might end up being more of a, just a thoughtful, lay some groundwork kind of message. We'll see what the Lord does with it. But it's just going to be a great time going through the book of Joshua. And honestly, I'm not sure that tonight's title can be a title for the whole book, but it certainly could be, at the very least, a subtitle for the entire book of Joshua. Let's read the text. I'll tell you the title, and then you can decide on your own, I think. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Joshua chapter 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Isn't that an awesome promise from God? Verse 4. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Now verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Now watch this. "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Do you know that's true for Joshua, but that's true for you and me. God said to Joshua, "I'll not fail you." God's saying to you and I, "I'll not fail you." He said, "I'll not forsake you." God's saying to us, "I'll not forsake you." Here's the title. A battle is coming that you can win. They're about to have some pretty tremendous battles they're going to get into. But they don't have to worry, do they? Because they have somebody fighting for them. A battle is coming that you can win. Let's pray about that. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you tonight. We all need you tonight. And so I pray that you'd strengthen us in our faith to see that we don't have to be afraid of the battles. We don't have to be afraid, because we have you, and you'll strengthen us, and you'll fight for us. I pray that you'll guide us in your path tonight. Help us where we're weak. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Someone asked me earlier, how was the trip with Ethan? We went to San Diego last week, and we had our father-son trip, and I do that with each one of the boys when they turn 12 years old. And we talk about some important things, and Ethan and I had a tremendous time. One of the things that we did while we were there is we went to SeaWorld. Now, I had been to SeaWorld before, but it had been 20 years ago, and frankly, I didn't remember too much about it. I remember thinking the orca show was neat because they were riding on the orcas and that, but they don't do that anymore. You can check out why later, but anyway, it's kind of a dramatic thing, but it was good. The dolphin show was amazing. And we did all of the shows and all of the, you know, I would say relaxed, kind of easy things at the beginning. And then when we were getting ready to finish the day, that's when we went to the roller coaster side, okay? We did that on purpose. It was strategic because I'm old, you know? Ethan wanted to do the rides earlier, but I knew if we did that first, the whole experience would be totally different for me. So we went over and we rode a ride, and this wasn't the first ride that we rode, but it's the first one I'll tell you about. It's called the Arctic, what is this thing called? The Arctic Rescue. This one is just like sitting on a rocket, basically. And you just fire out of this thing, and it's a roller coaster ride, but you're just flying through this roller coaster at hyper speed. And the nice thing, this was my favorite one, because it didn't do any loops or spins. No spins, no loops. Just lightning fast. And I was thinking the whole time, this is what every roller coaster should be like, you know, at my age, right? So we did that one, fun, didn't get sick. It was great, you know. But we did another ride called, this one was called the Electric Eel, okay? Totally different story. This one you get strapped into these chairs, and it shoots you up this way at lightning speed, but then it stops and goes backwards this way to build momentum to fire you back up, and then you do all these loops, and you're spinning around, and all of that's happening. We get off of that ride, and everything continued to spin for me. You know, we went from that ride to another ride called the Emperor, and this one was the worst of all. Okay, I guess it depends on your perspective. I mean, the best of all for some, but the worst for me. This one, you don't fire out. This one takes you up this ramp slowly, so you can really think about the mistake that you'd made for a long time. You get to the top, and it goes around, and it's a steep drop off straight down, but you pull off the edge of this, and it just dangles there for a while, and your feet are hanging there, you know. And then it just drops you, and you fly through this, and it goes around, and it goes loops and spins around. And if you weren't sick after the electric eel, the Emperor has you, you know. And I got off that one. Ethan's like, let's do that again. I'm like, nope, we will not be doing that one again. You need Mom here if we're going to do that one again, you know. Because she would be all in on doing that again. I brought up the roller coasters to say that I think sometimes that's how our life is. What I mean to say is our life feels like we're spinning. And it's frustrating because we don't want our life to be this way. And the spinning isn't just, you know, the only thing that we're dealing with. We're up and we're down. And we're tired, and we're overwhelmed, and we get discouraged. Just like an old person like me getting off of one of these roller coasters, but that's how our life is. Our life is challenging, and the ups and the downs. And I think in the end, what we're hoping for is not to have to deal with that. I really would like the ups and downs to stop. I would really like to have some victory here. I would really like these battles to end. But it seems like the battles are still there and the struggle is still there. And we wonder, why is this happening? Or is there ever going to be victory here? And Israel is like that. Now, think with me. Israel had been God's chosen people. And all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God had called them and he promised them to the promised land. He promised them the land. And then they went into captivity. They went to Egypt and they were in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God brought a deliverer, Moses, and they would be delivered out of this place of bondage, the Egyptians, through miraculous hand of God on the nation of Israel. But think with me, if you would. Israel is on that roller coaster now, where they're God's chosen people, and then they go away from God, and then they are given Levitical law, and they are able to come back to God. But then, you know, they're in bondage, and they're given all of these things, but they're up and they're down and they're spinning, and that's just the way the nation of Israel is. Once they're brought out of bondage through the hand of Moses in the miraculous work of God, now they're at the Red Sea, and they're coming across the Red Sea, and God's hand is on them. And they're going to go into the promised land. And so Moses puts together a team of spies to go into the land and spy out the land and prepare for entry. These 12 spies go into the land. They spy it out in obedience. But 10 spies come back to say, we can't take this land. We know that Caleb and Joshua said, we can take this land. But don't forget why they said that. They said that we can take this land because God promised us this land. So there was faith there. It wasn't like they looked at the battles and said, oh, yeah, we can handle this. No, the 10 spies would have been more correct in that sense. If we do this in our own strength, we're going to lose this. We're not going to win these battles. We're going to be overtaken. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't even move forward. We shouldn't even make any more attempts at this. The battle is too hard. It's too much for us. And I think we just need to back off on this. Well, because of their lack of faith, God then brought judgment on them, and they would be in the wilderness for 40 years. The promise of God was still in the in the life of Caleb and Joshua, who would be able to go into the promised land. But now Israel is on that roller coaster again, where they're going to go into the promised land, and now they're in the wilderness for those 40 years. We're getting to the end of the wilderness time. Or let's go back a little bit. Now they're in the wilderness time, and Moses is given a commandment from God to bring water to the nation of Israel who had been murmuring, but in his anger, remember, he in disobedience struck the rock when God told him to speak to the rock, and now because of his disobedience, Moses wouldn't be able to enter into the promised land. Now we're getting to the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, still on that roller coaster, right? And Moses isn't going to be able to enter into the land. And all of the generation of those that had lost the promise or the ability to go into that promised land had died. And Moses is right there about to die. Things are being prepared for Joshua to take the nation of Israel into the land of promise. And that's the transition from the book of Deuteronomy into the book of Joshua, where Joshua is being placed in leadership by God to take the nation of Israel into the promised land, to the place of victory, to the place of watching the conquering hand of God take the land and give it to the nation of Israel. Now I want to show you something. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, back up just a little bit here, and look at verse number 9. In verse 9 it says this, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom." So now here's Joshua. "For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." So there, right there at the end of the life of Moses, we see Moses putting his hand on Joshua, saying in this act, in front of the nation of Israel, that there's a transfer of authority from Moses to Joshua. That would have been important because the nation is now going to need to trust and follow this man, Joshua. This is a big deal because they'd been following Moses all of the time. Now it's time to follow Joshua. So the hand of the man Moses is placed on Joshua and the authority is given to him to take the nation into the promised land. And so we see that, but now I want you to see something else here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Joshua. So go to chapter 1. Look what it says here. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass," say these next words with me, would you? "That the Lord spake unto Joshua." Stop right there. The Lord spake unto Joshua. So in Deuteronomy 34, Moses put his hand on Joshua and said, "I am behind this man. You had been following me for all of these years, and I was the one who you knew of as the leader who brought messages from God to you and led you about. And I place my authority on this man." But now we have God speaking to Joshua. And so there's authority given to him, not just by Moses, but by the voice of God saying, "This is my man, and I want you to follow him." I think that's a powerful principle, because when victory is going, when we're going to be moving into victory, we're going to have God's hand on us. We're going to have God's touch in our life. Like I said just a minute ago, we have battles that we're going to face. You're not going to be able to win these battles on your own. You're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. We need God's hand on us. Amen. We need to know that we're hearing from God. "God, I need something from you." This is why we need to be in church. This is why we need to be in the Word of God every day. Amen. This is why, kids, look, you need to start taking it seriously to read your Bible and pray every day. Amen. Because it's not just about getting through school. It's not just about getting to the next chapter of life. It's always about knowing that you have God's hand on you and you're following God's leadership in your life. Amen. We want our kids to get that, but we need to get that. Amen. We need to stop allowing our emotions and our heart make decisions for us. Amen. "God, what would you have me to do? God, I need to know that I have your hand on me, because there's battles that are going to come and I can't win these battles without you." And so God's hand is on Joshua. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And then in verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. So this is a promise from God. God is promised to give this land to the nation of Israel. It's a transition of leadership, the blessing of Moses and the blessing of God on the leadership of Joshua. But here we're seeing where God is saying, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to bless you with this. This isn't something that you're doing for yourself. This is a blessing that came from me. You don't have to manufacture this. I think sometimes we get nervous about where we are in life or where we're going in life, thinking we need to do more. No, we don't need to do more. I think a lot of times we need to do less. Amen. And we need to open our ears more. You know, I think our hand is too much involved with the process sometimes. And we need to back off and let God do more of the work. We need to always let God do all of the work, but if he's going to use us to take those steps, we need to let him direct us in that. So God, I need to hear from you. I need to know that you're doing this because it's him that's going to give us the land. It's him that's going to give us the victory. And we know that it's a victory that's needed. You know why? Because of what it says in verse number 4. Look at verse 4 with me. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Note these next words. All the land of the who? Hittites. Why would it say that? Because the Hittites are the ones who live in the land. The implication of that phrase, all of the land of the Hittites, is to say, you have some battles that are coming. You're not just going to walk into a land and then the Hittites are going to pack their suitcases and leave. No, they're in the land, and you're going to go into the land that I'm giving to you. But when you get there, there's going to be battles there. You're going to face the Hittites. And this is going to be a struggle. Let's not pretend like living the Christian life is just rose petals. And the red carpet is going to be rolled out. Well, I'm following God. It's just going to be easy. No, it's not going to be easy. There are battles that are ahead. And the devil hates us. He hates you. He hates God. He hates the ministry. He wants to end it all. And so we need to know a couple of things. Number one, that God's hand is on us. We need to know that God is the one who's going to give us the victory. It's his promise. We're not doing this because we decided to do this. We are doing this because we're in obedience to God. We're where he wants us to be. We're doing what he wants us to do. And we know because of that, he's going to do it for us. He's going to go before us. He's going to give us the victory. And we can see that here. The Hittites, all the land of the Hittites. This is a tremendous task, though. Look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. So this verse right here just confirms that the task that's ahead for Joshua and for the nation of Israel is a tremendous task. And the battles are going to be great. But Joshua could be encouraged. He could be strengthened with a thought that also could strengthen you and me. And that is, he's not going to need to fight these battles alone. The battles will need to be fought. And we need to be prepared for them. But you're not going to need to fight them alone. And God, isn't it amazing how God has revealed himself faithful so many times? That we would come into a battle. And because we love the Lord and we want to serve God and we've committed ourselves to him, the devil, although the devil seeks to destroy us, God has been faithful. And he always does a miracle or puts something in our way to help us through the battle, to fight for us, to strengthen us in this. God is promising Joshua, these are difficult battles that you're going to face. You're going to need to be strong, he's going to talk about. But verse number 5, he says, the last part, I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. When I was coaching the boys in basketball in the season, let me go back to last year. I was the assistant coach of the team. And we played a team that year that we beat once, but then they beat us all the rest of the times. And then there was another team that we played all season last year, and they beat us every time by 30 points, on an average of about 30 points. And that was the whole season. Then we came into this season, and I became the head coach of the team. And the same team that beat us by 30 points last season, they beat us by 30 points this season, every game. And the average is about 30 points. And so as the coach, I'm trying to get the kids, you know, excited, and I'm trying to help them to see we can beat this team. And so we're installing things and we're working on things and we're trying to, you know, learn how to run our plays and run the right defenses and get everything right so we can compete against all the teams. But really, in the back of my mind, it's that one team, you know. I just want to beat that team. It was frustrating. One of our coaches finally said, I am tired of losing to, and he said, the team that we lost to by 30 points every time. And when he said that, because we had just lost to him, I said, that's how I feel too. I really think we all feel that way. We are all tired of losing to this team. I said that to you because in the end, I think that's how we all feel as it relates to the battles that we're facing with our flesh and in this life. Because there are battles that we face and we lose, and it's frustrating. And we wonder, is it even possible that I would be able to win this? Can I overcome this? Can I get through this? I feel overwhelmed with this struggle. I feel like discouraged about this. And this battle that I'm in or facing, and the battles that are to come, we wonder, am I going to be able to win this fight because I feel like I'm losing so much? And when that's the way that our life is, it can become discouraging. And so discouraging that we don't even want to try anymore. We just want to quit. And the devil whispers to us. And he says, you know, you can't really win this. And you might as well not even try anymore. You might as well just give up. You might as well just, you know, just give into this. And we hear those whispers, but you know what we need to remember is the devil's a liar. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take you out of the path that God has you on. And so there's going to be temptation there to say, you can't win these battles. You can't overcome these things. Let me say tonight that it could be that the reason why God is giving us this message to start on this path is because of a battle that we're in right now. But certainly we know it's true that there's a battle that's coming. And when you're in a battle and you feel like you can't win, it can become frustrating. And you know it's true that you can go to your knees and you can say the scripture, 1 John 1:9. Confess our sins, He's faithful and He forgives. And I'm thankful for that verse, aren't you? And the truth of God's forgiveness and His mercy. But when you feel like you can't win, it's frustrating. And it's like I'm just going to God for the same thing. And I feel like I can't win this. And that's when you're vulnerable and the devil will whisper to you and he'll say, you need to stop. You just need to quit trying. And don't even make the effort anymore. And then we get overwhelmed and we get discouraged. And it's like this spiral and we're going down and we can't get out of it. Israel is about to go into the promised land in obedience to God, and they're going to face battles. But before they even go into the battles, here's what God is wanting Joshua to know, and he's wanting you and I to know. It doesn't matter the battle that you're in or that you will face. You can win. Now just think about that for a second. It doesn't matter the battle that you're in, and it doesn't matter the battle that you're facing. You can win. And the reason why we know we can win is because we have God. He says, I'll never fail you. Now, we fail. You and I fail. Yes. And the people, look around you. We all fail. There's nobody here who doesn't fail. But if we let God be the one who's in control and we anchor ourselves to Him, then here's what we can know. That He will never fail. He'll never fail you. He is faithful. And He will fight these battles for us.
Yes.
He'll never leave us. He'll never abandon us. Amen. Which is what the last phrase in verse 5 it means. He'll never abandon us. He'll never leave you. It's like when Jesus was talking to His disciples. And He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You're not going to need to go through these battles alone. He loves you. He's going to whisper His grace to you. He's going to seek to help you. And He's going to bring people into your life at just strategic times to remind you that He's there. He's going to let you experience things to know He's there. And listen, we get overwhelmed and we feel like we can't win. And it makes us not want to try anymore. That's the devil. That's our flesh. That's us, you know, not relying on the arm of God and getting discouraged about this process. But tonight, here's what you're hearing. That you can be encouraged.
Amen.
You can be strengthened tonight.
Yes.
To know whatever your battle is right now, you can win.
Amen.
Yes.
To not quit fighting.
Right.
To not stop trying, but to seek the Lord and to know that He is faithful and He will not fail you. I talked to you about that team that we'd not beaten. Obviously, maybe you're putting all the pieces together, you know, on how this story is going to end. But this team we'd lost to by 30 every time last season and this season. We meet them in the semifinals of the final tournament to find out who the champion is. And here we are, playing against Goliath, it felt like to us. And we got our squad, and we have the pep talk. Guys, we can do it. We can beat these guys. And I said that every game, you know. You're like, well, that didn't work, you know. And we get out on the court, and we do what we do. We just do the things that we are supposed to do. And it's amazing that we made a few adjustments on defense and they couldn't score on us. And our offense was clicking so that passes were being made and guys were shooting shots that were going in. I was like, what's happening right now? They're missing it and we're making it. The ball was getting passed into Benny. He's on the post. We're running triangle. And he was like a surgeon. Every pass was this the right pass. And so we get to the end of the game. And the team we'd lost to by 30 every game for the last 2 years. And the team, one of the coaches said, I am tired of losing to this team. And we all said, yeah. We beat them by 10 points.
Amen.
And we made it to the championship game. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I just want you to know that you might feel like you're in a battle that's impossible to win. Impossible. And you've lost so many times. And I don't know that I can overcome this. I don't know that there's victory here. But here's what God is saying to you. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. I'll not abandon you. I'm with you always. I'm going to give you all that you need. I'm going to strengthen you every step of the way. I'm available to help you. I'll get you through this. Why? Because I'm going to fight for you.
Amen.
And so no matter the battle, And there are battles that are coming.
Right.
You can win.
Amen.
Do you know why you can win? Because you have God.
Amen.
I want to say some statements to you, and then we'll be done. Because this is really what I want you to have in this message, and then also in all the messages through the book of Joshua, okay? These are simple things. Number one, be encouraged. Like, I'm not encouraged right now. Be encouraged. Okay? You can look at verse 6. This will be our next time we'll be talking about this. Be strong and of a good courage. Just be encouraged. Next, be strengthened. Not in your own arm, not in your own strength. Be strengthened because you know you have God.
Yes.
Ask God for wisdom. That's the third thing. Ask God for wisdom. You know, James said that, didn't he? When we face temptation, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. No matter the battle, no matter the temptation, ask for wisdom. I'll give it to you. Ask God for help in time of need. I only have two more. Ask God for help in time of need. He'll give you help. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then lastly, a way of escape. Ask for a way of escape. You can win. You have God. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Okay?